Good morning, everyone. That hymn we sung this morning was most applicable to the portion of Scripture that we're going to be looking at today. Let me just read one of the verses of that hymn. It's by a very famous Christian man, Augustus Toplady. And the verse 3 of the hymn says, "If thou hast my discharge procured, and freely in my room endured the whole of wrath divine, payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine." That's what they call sanctified holy logic. That's proper reasoning on the part of the hymn writer. If the Lord Jesus died and bore the price of my sin, then God's not going to ask for another payment and punish me as well. That's the logic of Calvary. It's the logic of Calvary. Now today, we're turning to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22, and I'm just going to read the first 14 verses of this chapter. We may not get too far in our study. It's a new study. But we'll see how we get on. First of all, we've got to familiarize ourselves with the story itself. So are we listening? We're reading from verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." Now when we think of the word tempt, we think of you being pushed toward doing something sinful. But of course, that's not the meaning of the word here. God cannot tempt men to sin. The word really means test. So if we read that God did test Abraham, we'd understand what God is doing here. "And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning." I have to notice that. He didn't lie in, as you would maybe think of doing if you're facing something that you don't want to do. You'd linger in bed. But dreadful and all as this challenge was, Abraham was going to obey God promptly. "He rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day," it was coming up on 50 miles away, that's where he had to travel to, so it took him a little while. "Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said unto the young man, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Do you notice anything peculiar about that last portion of his statement? What was Abraham going to do? He was going to offer his son a sacrifice. But look at what he says here. "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and will come again to you." It's important you notice these things. Every word of God is true. Abraham doesn't say, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and then I'll come back," which would have been what you naturally would have expected, since he was going to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. So Isaac was going to die and wouldn't come back. Naturally speaking, but Abraham spoke in faith. He didn't really know how it was going to be possible. He was going to offer Isaac, but he had faith that somehow or other he and Isaac would return. That's very, very significant. Very, very significant. Verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And here Abraham speaks in faith again, boys and girls. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, tied his hands and his feet, and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And never was any doubt in Abraham's mind that he would obey God, terrible and all as this may be. He would obey God and do what he was told. And so he ties Isaac, lays him on the altar on top of the wood, and took the knife. I have no doubt he had it raised up and was about to strike. Verse 11, And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! The angel calling his name twice indicates urgency. Abraham really was about to strike. The angel speaks twice. I can almost hear the voice of the angel. Abraham, Abraham! In order to stop what the good man, in simple obedience to God, was about to do. And Abraham said, Here am I! And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. This was the test, you see. God wanted to know who comes first in Abraham's life. Is it God, or is it his only son? Who comes first? Now the Lord says, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, that is, Jehovah, the Lord, Jireh shall provide. The Lord shall provide. As it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading from his precious word. Now, we have a few minutes left in our assembly this morning, so let me give you some background to what it is we're going to be studying in this passage of Scripture. This is the fifth picture. Picture number 5 of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been considering. We were last week thinking about Noah's Ark. Now, some little time has passed since the days of Noah. In fact, about 500 years. Let me help you to sort of get a grasp of the passing of the years. There has passed about some 2,000 years upon the earth when this event took place. We are in the year 2015, since the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when our calendar today is dated from. 2015, after Christ. Well, Abraham was around about the same time after the creation of the world when this incident took place. They were into the second millennia since the creation of the world. That gives you some idea of the time that has passed. And Abraham, some time before, while he was really a heathen, a pagan, an idolater, lived in today's Iraq. It was called a place named Ur of the Chaldees. That was the name given. You read about it in Genesis chapter 12. God calls him out of Ur of the Chaldees and tells him, I want to lead you to a land that I will show to you, and I will give it to you and to your descendants. And we are told that this is found in Hebrews chapter 11, where the faith of Abraham is referred to. Here's what it says in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out, not knowing whither he went. Now God didn't say to Abraham, way off in Iraq, I'm going to take you to a land that I have called Israel, presently called Canaan. No, he didn't say that. He said, You follow me and I'll take you to a land. So he stepped out not knowing where he was going. And he came under God's guidance to what we call today Israel. And God said, I'm going to give you this land. Your descendants, those children that are born of you in generations to come, they'll own this land. And they'll own it forever. Now most people living in and around Israel today, and many of them living in Israel today, don't believe that. Won't accept that the land was given by God to Abraham's descendants. But that's the truth of the matter. You and I can look at the story and see where God gave that land to that people we call the Jew. Well, a few years have passed since Abraham was brought to Canaan, and a son has been given to him. This is the promised son, from whom would come all the descendants who would fill the land. The son was called Isaac. Now when this incident took place, Isaac had to be in his late teens, possibly early 20s. He had to be. Men have discussed and debated exactly what age he was. Some say he was 27. Some say he was 19. I just don't know. Except we are given some indication here of what age he had to be. Any of you any ideas where we get an indication in the passage we have read of what age he might be? There's something that indicates that he must have been man big. And it's this. If you look there, please, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Isaac had to carry the wood. Now, the amount of wood that would be required to consume a sacrifice the size of a human body would be a lot of wood. Could I put a weight to it? Well, there'd have to be at least 100 weight. 100 pounds, 150 pounds weight of wood. Any of you boys ready to carry 100 weight on your shoulders and walk for 50 miles? Well, perhaps he hadn't to walk the 50 miles, for the donkeys were there doing that bit of work, but he had to carry it from where they parted company with the servants to the top of the mountain or the hill where the sacrifice was going to take place. Maybe he had a mile to carry it, maybe 2 miles. So I'm suggesting to you that if Isaac was going to do that, he had to be full grown to carry such a weight. Now it's important for us to consider what age he was. It's important. And the reason why it is important is this. If Isaac was only that size, his father could take him and tie his hands and his feet and he couldn't resist. He couldn't put up any fight. But if it was that height and that broad, he could resist if he wanted. But I want you to notice here, the story tells us that Abraham took his son and he bound him. And there was no fight from Isaac. In other words, Isaac was willing to submit to his father. That's important. That's important. Because it all helps us to see in this story a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now time's gone. We really haven't got started yet. But we'll come back to this in the will of the Lord the next time I'm with you. But may the Lord bless the few words that have been spoken and, of course, the reading of Holy Scripture that has taken place here this morning. Let's bow in prayer. We ask thee, Lord, to bless the wonderful story of Isaac being offered, his willingness, and, of course, his father's willingness in obedience to God to do what he was told. Lord, there's so much there for us to learn. I pray that you will bless the boys and the girls, and during this day, throughout this day, may thoughts on these matters come before them. Answer prayer now, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.